Hey, y'all, welcome to the Marty Smith America podcast. This is volume 94. That means it's the DeMarcus Ware edition. Man, did I love watching that dude get after quarterbacks. It's such a unique time in our history. So many of us are quarantined. A lot of us are in shelter-in-place, stay-at-home modes. And despite that, we're still trying really hard to collect and offer you guys unique original content to help you pass the time. And we know we have that today. Had a great opportunity to spend 30 or so minutes with six-time Pro Bowler Gerald McCoy, who, of course, was a consensus All-American for the Oklahoma Sooners and the third pick overall in the 2010 NFL Draft, has had such a great career, just signed with the Dallas Cowboys, which is a lifelong dream for an Oklahoma boy who grew up just a couple of hours from Big D. This is going to be a really revealing time as you guys listen to this interview with Gerald. It certainly was for me. He told me about an amazing exchange with Kobe Bryant. He told us why the Dallas Cowboys are the right choice for him right now in his career as he chases that elusive first Super Bowl. And he also told us a couple interesting things about his favorite NFL player, how one of his former teammates still has a whole lot left in the tank, and that the team that let that player go might just regret it. Here is our conversation with Gerald McCoy on the Marty Smith's America podcast. Wow. First, of course, we have to talk about quarantine. And
yeah,
it's such a unique time, not only currently, but in the history of man. What's quarantine been like for you? How you guys spending time?
Right now, my kids are in school, but they all got virtual school or, you know, online school where they got to get on an app called Zoom. Mm-hmm. And they meet with the teachers and they go through a full day of school. So they patch them in to different teachers in their home. So they may have art, they may have movement. I got to take them through PE. They may have library, Spanish, all different types of stuff. So been doing that, going outside, doing family workouts, playing tennis, playing up the basketball court. That's about it. Me and my son and I, my oldest was going to Oklahoma. We've been training hard. So that's, other than that, that's about it. I've been doing all the cooking. Well, most of it, because my wife is making sure the house is all together. So she got a little under the weather. So I kind of took over the cooking duties.
How does quarantine impact a vegan diet?
Oh, well, for me, I kind of do a little of both now, because last year in training camp, so what I want to do is test the vegan out, and I loved it. But what I came to realize is, with a guy my size, it wasn't sustainable to be fully vegan. So I kind of been going in and out of it, you know, with my diet, because what I started realizing, like, I still was explosive and I had everything I needed, but it wasn't sustainable. So I had to get some other protein back in my diet.
Why wasn't it sustainable? You couldn't keep the weight on you needed?
No, when I say sustainable, I mean my explosion. Like, so my legs, my muscles would start kind of shaking a little bit because they didn't have the energy they needed. And I wasn't able, like, I didn't realize this. Like, in practice, I was fine. But once I got in my first couple preseason games, I realized, like, when I have to push off and drive and then take off, turn and take off running, it's just, I felt like I couldn't run like I wanted to. And I realized that it was my diet, so.
What did you reinstitute back into your diet?
Just regular proteins. You know, like, I do seafood. For sure, mostly. That's mainly all I really eat. Then I'll add some grilled chickens in there, and then maybe one red meat a week. I'm not really big into the red meat, but maybe once a week, you know, to prepare for games. But right now, I'm not really eating red meat, period. So,
you noted that you and your son are getting after it, working out, trying to make sure you're prepared for the season. What do those workouts look like right now?
Oh, yeah. So, for me, anybody who knows me, like knows I'm always going to find a way to do, like, grueling workouts regardless. So, you know, we still pulling sleds, doing a lot of sprints, doing heavy weight lifting. I got into this this new lifting regimen that I got. I went to visit Chuck Smith, and at his gym, I did some lifting. The trainer there had me doing, it was more like almost like a bodybuilder's type lift. And I started doing that, and I started realizing, man, this is just really beneficial. Like, it sucks because it's a lot of reps and stuff, but you see results really fast. So I've been putting my son through that.
Let's go back to PE teacher, Dad McCoy. Are you one of those? Like, do you run them outside and you're wearing, like, your bike coaching shorts and your whistle?
No, I'm not doing that. I'm just regular dad, and we go through. You know, really what I do is I take it as a time to start training my youngest. Well, not my youngest, but my second oldest son. You know, he plays football and basketball, so I kind of use it as a time to put him through some workouts to start training him. And then his twin, he loves to run around too, so I just kind of, have him do the same things.
You leave us here in Charlotte, and you're headed to Big D, the Dallas Cowboys. Why was that the right fit for you?
Oh, well, it was a number of different reasons, man. One, it's the star. You know, it's the number one highest grossing team in, you know, in the world. So that's one thing. I grew up in Oklahoma, which is like 2.5 hours from there. So I grew up starting out as a Cowboys fan, eventually becoming a Bucks fan. But if you didn't know somebody or yourself at some point wasn't a Cowboys fan and you from Oklahoma, it was something wrong with you. Like, just being honest. You know, and then, I mean, watching them, being in the NFL, you see them dang near every week. So, I mean, it's just overall, it's the Cowboys. And then secondly, you know, you look at the I was a big fan of Coach McCarthy when he was at Green Bay, and I had a chance to play for him at the Pro Bowl and get to know him just a little bit. And I always was a fan. My dad was always a fan. So I looked at it as an opportunity. This would be exciting to play for him. And then, you know, I could be close to my family. My best friend lives there. My wife's sister lives there. My sister lives there. So it's nothing but, you know, opportunity, honestly. And then, honestly, I truly believe this team has an opportunity to win, man. They're in win now mode. You know, I believe Dak is coming off his best season. You know, Zeke has been consistent. They got a solid O-line, always have. You know, it sucks to lose Travis Frederick, but, you know, they have the rest of the guys in place. They can keep the momentum and keep things going. And I just felt like myself and a couple other pieces were missing on defense to really help this team turn the corner. And I was excited about the opportunity.
What is it about wearing that star that's different?
I'm not sure. You know, for a team to be classified as America's team, you know, obviously they've, you know, really popular. And, you know, I ran into so many. I didn't realize how many Dallas Cowboy fans I really ran into until I announced that I was playing for Dallas. That's when I realized, like, oh, yeah, you are a Cowboys fan. And then my phone just blew up. Most of my family's Cowboys fans. Most of my friends I grew up with, Cowboys fans. Shoot, I found out the person who does my hair is a Cowboys fan. The person who works in the shop with her is a Cowboys fan. I'm like, where all these Cowboys fans come from? You know, it's the Cowboys, like America's team. You know, every year you're going to see them on TV 5-6 times. And one thing that also was very appealing to me was getting to play on Thanksgiving. You know, I grew up watching the Thanksgiving Day game, and I still watch the Thanksgiving Day game, and it's always exciting to see. So having an opportunity to play in there is going to be great. You know, I've only played on Sunday Night Football one time, and it was versus the Cowboys. And we had to get flexed in order to do that because we were in a playoff push. So, you know, I've never played on Sunday Night Football besides that one time. And like I said, it just so happened to be versus the Cowboys. So it'll be exciting to, you know, have an opportunity to do that as well.
You noted your respect for Mike McCarthy. How do you expect he might impact the Cowboys culture?
Well, he's had, you know, a history of winning. You know, obviously, I can say this. He said it, you know, you get spoiled with having a player like Aaron Rodgers, you know, one of the, in my opinion, top five quarterbacks in history. And he's my favorite player, so I'm always going to be a little biased towards Aaron Rodgers. But, you know, he's had that, but he's also had great teams that he's put together with great leadership. You know, if you look at that Super Bowl team he had, you know, Charles Woodson was one of the main leaders. And then you just put playmakers around him, but it was a lot of great leadership, man. And that's what I believe that this team was missing. And I believe he's going to put us in a great position to win. It's just going to be up to us, the leaders on the team, to make it go.
Why is Aaron Rodgers your favorite player?
Have you watched him play?
Oh, man. Look, I'm not saying I don't agree with you. He's a magician is what he is. He's an unbelievably gifted tactician. His accuracy, especially throwing back across his body 30 yards down the field, is historic.
The way he could just take a football and just flip it and it goes 40 yards is ridiculous. It's just flick of the wrist. It's a flick of the wrist and the ball is gone. I mean, I watched a thing called Turning Point the other day with him versus, unfortunately, the Cowboys, and he was on a drive to win the game. And it was a play, it was like week five in 2017, I think, maybe. 2017. And he threw a game-winning pass to Devontae. And the guy, forget who the corner was, he tipped it. And Devontae came back to the line and told him to throw it again. And he said he just, with his eyes, told me to throw a better pass. Aaron Rodgers broke down why he chose to throw the ball the way he did. He said, based off how the corner was playing off the first play of the drive, I knew how to throw this pass. And it just, people don't understand what being a true pro is. And even that, most pros don't know to do. Most pros don't think like that, but he does. Him and a few others, you know, I honestly believe, like, right now, the best player in our league is Patrick Mahomes, but I don't even know if he thinks that way yet. You know what I'm saying? Like, his way of thinking, how he operates, his confidence in the clutch is just is Aaron Rodgers, man.
Who would the other four, if Aaron Rodgers is one of the five best ever, who are the other four?
Peyton, Tom, Elway, and I know people are going to kill me for this, for not saying Joe Montana, but I would say Marino.
Joe Montana won a lot of rings.
Peyton, Tom. Yeah, maybe. He had the luxury of having Jerry Rice, too.
And John.
Which is no knock. He's you know, he's arguably the greatest of all time. I'm not saying he's not, but, you know, it's just like, some people, it's the LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant thing. You know, it's just a kind of like a preference thing. You respect LeBron for being who he is, but you might not pick him to be in your whatever. You know what I'm saying? So Joe Montana is obviously a top three quarterback in history, but the five that I like, I would have to say Dan Marino is my fifth.
I just said Brent Jones. I meant Dwight Clark, of course. Different era.
Yeah. Right.
What, speaking of being inspired, it's funny. I actually, one of the questions that I wanted to ask you in looking at your Instagram, I can see you're a huge Kobe guy. Who do you got, Kobe, Bron, or Michael?
You said, who do I have out of those three?
Yeah.
Oh, there's no question. It's Jordan.
Yeah.
I don't think that's an argument. I think my favorite player of all time is Kobe Bryant, obviously. But the greatest of all time is Michael Jordan. You know, and I believe anybody who has an argument for LeBron has a valid argument, but I just personally believe Jordan is the greatest. This is just how I feel.
Right. What separated Michael from the others?
Here's how I see it. When the president is making an announcement that Michael Jordan is back in basketball, it just don't get no better than that. Like, he got so much other stuff. He got so much other stuff to be he could be talking about. But he's giving a, you know, announcement in a speech, and he said, oh, by the way, Michael Jordan is back in basketball. Like, his impact, everything, man. Him in the finals, how he was being clutch, you know, going 6-for-6 in the finals. He just did so much. And he was ahead of his time, you know. And the stuff he done, people still are not doing.
No.
You know, it's just clear to me. Jordan was just, he's way too good, man. Like, he was doing stuff like, and a lot of people are like, well, you know, LeBron came out of high school and this and this. Hey, that's his fault for going to the NBA early. Like, you got to think of how Jordan was dominating college as well. Dominated college, came in the league as a rookie. Dang, their average, what are your average, almost 30 points? That's mm-hmm. ridiculous. That's just,
it is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And when you Jordan, look at that era.
He's Jordan. Like, you can't.
I mean, he impacted.
Not much more to say about it.
Such a global icon, and as well, in his era, the game was so damn physical that
that's
every single time
you know,
Michael
that's,
went
that's
to the rim,
I'm glad
he got
that.
Assaulted, bro.
I'm glad you said that. The Jordan rules, like, are we yep. really doing this? The Jordan rules, come on, man. A lot of these kids don't even know what the Jordan rules are. Like, this guy, they were really trying to hurt him as he was coming yep. in the lane, and he never stopped. He just kept going. And I don't believe a lot of these players in today's game could have played because it was just too physical. It just was, man. And I think maybe they could have. A lot of players could have. It just was so physical, man. So physical. Like, the big man in basketball is almost like a lost art now. Like having a true big man, because you got to, if you can't shoot threes as a big man, you're like not valuable anymore. And that's not what I grew up watching, you know.
What impact did Kobe Bryant have on your life?
Well, Kobe, one thing he did is for me is he inspired me to have that killer instinct that regardless of circumstance, you know, and it doesn't matter if one thing you can, a coach would never say about me, I don't care who it is. You go to any coach at any time in my life, they'll never tell you he quit, he gave up, or he didn't go hard. Like, ever. It didn't matter what it was, how bad we was losing, if the season was already lost, what was going on, he's going to give you everything he got. That's just because how he's always been. There's never going to be a coach or anybody who's ever been around me that'll tell you he was ill-prepared. He wasn't in shape. He don't work hard. He's not prepping in the off-season. Nobody ever tell you that. And a lot of that, you know, I had to build on my own, but knowing how to do it and the mindset to have, I got a lot of that from Kobe. You know, I got a lot from Muhammad Ali and Floyd Mayweather as well, but most of it came from Kobe. You know, just watching him, watching his interviews, his demeanor, how he carried himself, his workout timing, his preparation. He said he would go in the morning, then he would have lunch, then he'd come back in the afternoon, then he'd eat, then he'd come back in the evening. He said, before you know it, you done got three workouts in and everybody else done one. You know, if you visualize whoever it is you're trying to be better than, if you walk off the field or play or the basketball court and you feel like you haven't outworked them, then you need to go back. You know, he's always had that mindset. And I just always loved the way he approached the game, how he played the game, and just everything about him.
I saw that photo of you guys on your Instagram. What'd you say to him when you had the opportunity to spend some time with him?
Well, the first thing I said when I met him, I seen him come in, And I was shook and kind of starstruck, but at the same time, I said, geez, if you don't say what you got to say right now, if you don't man up and say what you got to say, you might not ever get this chance again. So I was like, you know what? Took a deep breath. I seen him coming this way. And then he was like, what's up, big fella? And then I said, what's up? Introduced myself. And I said, listen, I don't know what the rest of the day is going to hold. I know your time is short, but I just want to tell you this. I've always wanted to tell you this. And all I told him is how much he's inspired me and how much I looked up to him and watched his interviews and watched his workout tapes and all that. And then I let him go. And then after that, me being so assertive, we were at the Players Tribune. When they were going around asking questions, he asked me like three questions because he seen how assertive I was with talking to him. See, most everybody else in the room, he knew already. He didn't know me. But because I was so assertive and aggressive, not aggressive to him, but, you know, just aggressive with my approach, he started asking me questions, multiple questions. And me just being me, love to have a good time, you know, not afraid to talk in front of any crowd. People just kept asking me questions. And before you know it, I'm really doing a lot of the talking because of what, you know, my answers and just me not being afraid to be me in front of whoever. I don't care if these guys are A-list celebrities or whatever it may be. I'm going to be me. And that's just how it is. And afterwards, after the Player Tribune meeting, we came out, and we're sitting out there talking, and he comes, sits next to me, and we start talking again. I'm sitting in my head like, no way this is happening. You know, but then his assistant was like, all right, Kobe, we got to go. We got to get here. He was like, all right, fellas, I got to go. I'm going to get out of here. I was like, man, that was crazy. That was Kobe Bryant. He really was about to sit down and just talk to us. That's crazy.
What did he ask you?
We were talking about impact on teams and how we approach everything. And he was asking our viewpoint on how we approach marketing ourselves. And, you know, at the time I was still with the Bucks. And, you know, it was interesting because I'm in the room with Kevin Durant. Who else was in there? Paul Pierce. Maria Sharapova's in there. Blake Griffin, Kobe, Derek Jeter, you know, people of this magnitude, Von Miller, people of this level, and the names just keep going and keep going. And Michael Phelps was in there, and I'm having to talk about marketing myself. And you got all these people who the marketing is done for them, basically. They just, you know, they are who they are. And, he asked me about my approach of things and how I viewed it, and we just went from there. And then the questions just kind of, you know, it's like a domino effect. They just rolled out from that point.
That's really cool. Man, you were in Tampa forever. How would you have reacted if Tom Brady was suddenly your quarterback?
I mean, obviously, I would have been excited. You know, I went through a lot with Tampa, a lot of ups and downs, mainly downs. Far as winning goes, not like operational or organization, winning mainly downs. But I loved my time there, and it would have been great to be on that team and have Tom Brady. You know, obviously how I work it, how I operate is I give everybody the credit where credit is due, and I thank everybody for their time. So obviously, I would have given Jameis his credit and told him thank you. And, you know, somebody asked me, well, how you feel about James? Well, listen, I don't control that. It's business. And I've seen so many people come and go. I've seen Aqib Talib be at the same place. He at least win one Super Bowl. I seen LeGarrette Blount there. He left and won three Super Bowls. One of my closest friends in the world, Mike Bennett, he was on our team. They let him go. And he went and won a Super Bowl. Played in two, you know, won a Super Bowl, played on winning teams. And I've seen so many players come and go. So to see our quarterback come and go, it would have been my fourth, maybe fifth quarterback, you know, and I would have given him all the credit and just welcome in Tom Brady. I mean, he's the GOAT. So I mean, how do you not welcome in the GOAT? It's like being on an NBA team and, you know, you're sitting there and all of a sudden Kobe walk in and Kobe's on your team now. I mean, you're going to say thank you for the person who was there, but all right, now come on in. You know, it's just how it would be. You know, and I love Jameis, man. Jameis is like my little brother. And I'm always going to look out for him. You know, I love him to death, and I truly believe he's going to land on his feet. But now we have a new teammate that we have to welcome in and get acclimated to, so that's what I would have done. And with it being Tom Brady, it's like, come on, man, this is Tom Brady. You know what I'm saying?
Have you spoken to Jameis recently? How's he doing, if you have?
Jameis is great. Jameis is always very positive. Jameis is one of the hardest working people I've ever been around. Well, you know how people say first one in, last one out? He really lived that. That wasn't fake. He actually lived that. So when, you know, a person says that, Jameis was truly that person. You know, I got there. I thought I got there early. I get there, Jameis is already sweating. I'm like, man, what the heck? When did you get here? You know, and he did this in season and in training camp. I'm going to be honest. A lot of people say whatever they want to say. A lot of people push the limits in training camp because it's nonsense. It's like playing a game every day. So you come in, you got to get your body ready, but you just kind of dragging a little bit, and it takes you some time to get going. Jameis would be in there lifting and, I mean, up and ready to go every day. This was every single day. So, and then sometimes because I had to pick my kids up, I would let traffic go past before I left so I wouldn't get stuck in traffic. And Jameis would still be up there either doing extra meeting time, doing extra treatment, something. But he really was first one in, last one out. So it just sucked to see, you know, the interceptions and the fumbles and because he really did give it everything he had. And he prepared the right way every single week, and he trained hard all the time. But Jameis just he's a gunslinger. And gunslingers, I always say any quarterback is a gunslinger. It's a sickness. You can't control it. You just believe you can make any throw, put it in any window. But the same thing that people look at as a negative is what makes him successful with making the plays he makes, because he's unwavering and he believes he can make any throw regardless of the outcome. And that's why I believe he's going to land on his feet. And at some point he'll be starting for somebody really soon.
Gerald, what moment proved to you that the NFL is a business?
Peyton Manning getting released. I didn't need to see nothing after that. You know, I thought Peyton Manning was the GOAT until these last few Super Bowls that Tom Brady has been through. You know, that comeback kind of put it over the top for me against Atlanta. But seeing Peyton Manning get released, I was like, oh, yeah, I know how this works. So from now on, I don't take nothing personal. I believe the thing is with Indy, he got released, it was handled with class. So that's why I say you can't take it personal. But if something is ugly when it goes down, you know, and you've done everything you've done for the organization and it's, you know, you're treated a certain way, then you can take it personal because it's like, all right, man, like, have some respect. But past that, man, I don't take nothing personal. It's all business. That's what it is. It's a game to the players. It's business to the business side. It's just how it is. The guys upstairs, it's a business. So I don't take nothing personal, man.
What's your opinion of the newly minted collective bargaining agreement?
I'm not speaking on that. It's done and over with. Can't do nothing about it.
I want to ask you just a couple more things. I've kept you too long already, brother. I love your candor. I love your perspective, and I really appreciate you giving me all this time. We talked mm-hmm. about Jameis. You also, as I said, spent a year in Charlotte, here where I lived last year. What interaction did you have with Cam Newton while you were here? What do you think his production level can be moving forward?
I truly believe that Carolina made a mistake letting Cam go. Yeah, I'm all for Teddy, and Teddy's getting everything he deserves. It's not personal to Teddy, so let me say that right now. This is not a personal shot at Teddy Bridgewater. this could have been Andy Dalton. This could have been whoever they brought in. This could have been a rookie. It don't matter. It's not about who they brought in. It's about the fact that they let Cam go. And Cam has so much left, so much left. And he's immensely talented. He's a great teammate. Really, really nice guy. Full of energy, always brings the energy, and loves to work. He just got injured. I mean, Cam, his style of play, you're going to get hurt because he runs it all. He's a big guy that moves as good as any athletic person on the field. He can outrun anybody, but he's also a really good quarterback. It's just his style of play. You're going to take some hits. And as he's gotten older, he's taking less hits, but the young hits he's taking when he was younger, it just kind of wore on him a little bit. But he's got so much left, man, and I hated to see that. But I'm excited for his future because somebody's getting a great one. Somebody's really getting a great one, man, and they don't. I don't think people really understand what they're getting, you know, for all the antics and things people seen from Cam. One thing you can never say about him is that he folded. Cam did it his way, how he wanted, for as long as he wanted. And it's just, you know, he's not going to change for anybody. And you got to respect a person like that who's going to do it their way and not change just because people think he should.
I love it. I'll leave it right there. Very well said. Brother, again, thank you for your perspective, man. Thank you for your time. I just love chatting with you. We really appreciate
you. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Really filled up my tank having the opportunity to spend that time with Gerald. As I said to him, I just love his perspective. He is completely unafraid to say what he thinks. His candor and sense of humor and the depth of his perspective is beautiful. And I just love chatting with him. We've had him on the podcast before, and there's a reason we had him back. I will tell you, Travis, I find it interesting that he didn't want to discuss the CBA. That tells me a lot. Thoughts?
That says something, because I assume that means he was against it, but, you know, he's someone that's made his money and his career is coming to an end, so it wouldn't make sense. But kind of surprised he didn't want to talk about it just because of how open he is about things.
It's interesting to me that thing was decided by 50 votes.
Well, and think about it. There was, what they say, like a couple hundred that didn't even vote, and it was decided by 50. Like,
I know. That really tells you, that tells you so much. Two things there. Number one, the numbers involved in that vote and how close it was tells you a lot. And the fact that one of the most outspoken, thoughtful players in the entire league did not want to discuss it also tells you a lot. What he said about Cam Newton, I love it. And I also love that he did not, look, nobody in Charlotte has any problem with the fact that Teddy Bridgewater is going to be the quarterback. Teddy Two Gloves is a baller, man. And you talk about a guy who had an amazing career derailed by injury. I mean, that guy's one of the poster children for that. He is a tremendously talented player and did a great job when Drew Brees was out in New Orleans. But I love to hear Gerald's perspective on the fact that he believes Cam has so much left in the tank, that he's going to help a team, that he's a great teammate. It's that was amazing perspective from somebody who knows. And so I loved it. I'm grateful for his time. Great job, Travis, getting Gerald on. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Thank you so much for listening. Please subscribe, rate, and review. And stay home, everybody. Stay at home. If we want to slow this thing down, stay home.
That's what I've been saying is it stinks. But if we want it to end quicker, just stay home, suck it up for a couple weeks, and then we can get back to normalcy, because we're teetering on that line right now where it could impact the thing that we love the most, which is college football and NFL. So suck it up for a couple weeks, stay home, be smart, and let's get this over with.
Stay home and stay healthy. I am so grateful for all the doctors, nurses, first responders, all those people on the front lines, man, that aren't staying at home. who are going to work tirelessly so that they might save lives, so that they're putting themselves in harm's way in the effort to help other people. And that's as noble and admirable as you can possibly get. Thank you to every one of you who are out there on the front lines every day. Appreciate our law enforcement officials, our firemen, and certainly our military who are out there working every day to keep us free. Stay home, guys. Have an amazing week. We appreciate you listening. Marty Smith's America, Volume 94. Y'all have a great week. Stay safe. Stay home. Hug your loved ones. Drink a cold beer.